Welcome to Servants of the Lord Ministries. My name is Dr. Keith Jenkins. I'm the International Coordinator for Servants of the Lord Ministries. Before I start my message today, I want to share with you the commission of the ministry that God gave to Joseph Hedgecott, the founder of Servants of the Lord Ministries, many years ago. He said, "I have children in every nation, and you have brothers and sisters whose hearts are crying out to me. They sought me for ministry, blessings, and gifts." He said, "I've given them those things, and it's blessed them. But there's a part of their spirit that it never fulfilled, that is reserved for an intimate relationship with me. Now their hearts are crying out to me, just for me. That is who I'm sending you to, because I don't want them to take the years it took you to get to me, because there was no one to show you how at the time." Servants of Ministries is a teaching and training ministry sent to the body of Christ to reach people with a heart after God. This message is for those who want to get to know Him, grow up in Him, and be ready for His appearing. Today I'm sharing a message on examining yourself. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 5. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 13, I'm reading verse 5. "Examine yourselves, therefore, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know ye not your own selves, how that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates." The word "examine" in Strong's is number 3985. It comes from another word which means to test objectively. That is to endeavour, scrutinise, entice, discipline, assay, examine, go about, prove, or tempt, or try. In the book, My Friends, Obey My Voice, in chapter 1 on To Know Truth, on pages 4 and 5, Joseph Hedgecott writes, "Part of what I want to share in this book is along this line. I can tell you what to do, but when things don't work right and you don't understand, you have problems getting it to work again. I'm going to give you an outline so that you can examine yourself." The scripture says, "Examine yourselves, whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves." 2 Corinthians 13:5. I want you to be able to examine yourself and know if you are walking in obedience to God or not, and to what level you are walking in obedience. If you're not walking in obedience to God, you need to find out why. Not only that, you also need to find out what to do about why you are not walking in obedience to Him. We're going to get this down to the nitty-gritty. If you have already decided to be lukewarm and never come into the knowledge of the truth, then this teaching will be boring to you or very convicting, depending on how calloused you have become. If you have come to the conclusion that you are not where you should be or where you desire to be because of ignorance or lack of knowledge, then this teaching will give you some valuable insight and knowledge on how to find out what is wrong within yourself and how to deal with it. I'm going on the assumption that you are reading this book because you have read the first book, My Sheep Hear My Voice. I assume that you are now reading this book because you are trying to walk in the first teaching. This teaching is going to help you move on in the Lord. There wasn't enough time in the first book to expand every important area. So before I go any further, I want to share with you a little more so you understand where we are going. The first teaching was very important so you could realize that you can hear God and have a close relationship with Him. It was revelation to a lot of people. Theoretically, you knew it, but the reality, many of you didn't think it was possible. The fact that you can hear God and have this fellowship be in communion with him and be led by the Spirit was a real revelation to some of you. Practical steps on how to prepare your vessel for the walk of fellowship is also what the other teaching is all about. You need to understand that there is a purpose for hearing God. God didn't just decide for you to hear his voice and have fellowship with him. It isn't just for fellowship. God's children are being trained for a purpose. You are supposed to examine yourself personally in terms of the fruit that manifests on the narrow way, not in terms of the gifts of the Spirit that operate by grace. You can be hearing God in ministry for the sake of someone else in need and become a castaway yourself because of the same sin manifesting over and over again in your own life. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and reading to verse 11. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 1. Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant of how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea. Verse 2. And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea. Verse 3. And did all eat the same spiritual meat. Verse 4. And did all drink the same spiritual drink. For they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. Verse 5. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Verse 6. Now these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Verse 10. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Verse 11. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Bad fruit manifesting in you when you are exposed to the day-to-day pressures of life is evidence that you are carnal and Jesus is not Lord of your life. God took his own people into the wilderness to get them ready to enter the promised land. God is holy, and all they had to cope with was a bit of heat for 40 days. But this soon became 40 years. Only Caleb and Joshua were found faithful. These are the last days. And when he returns, will you be found faithful? Joshua said in Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 to 16. This is Joshua chapter 24. I'm reading verse 14. Now therefore fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Verse 15. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that are on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Verse 16. And the people answered and said, God forbid that we should forsake the Lord to serve other gods. God could not allow his people to replace other corrupt nations, since they had been overcome in the wilderness by temptation under a very low level of pressure. Moses was a good leader, and so was Joshua. But the people could not keep their flesh under control after God delivered them out of Egypt. John wrote in 1 John chapter 2, verses 25 to 29. This is 1 John chapter 2, I'm reading verse 25. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. Verse 26. These things have I written unto you concerning them that seduce you. Verse 27. But the anointing which ye have received of him abides in you, and ye need not that any man teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you of all things, and is truth, and is no lie, and even as it has taught you, ye shall abide in him. Verse 28. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Verse 29. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone that does righteousness is born of him. For more information about the six steps to the anointing, please read the book The Manifested Sons of God, revised edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Everyone needs to fear God. Those only hearing God in ministry, but not in their personal lives with the gift of eternal life, are deceived and can seduce others. Three things are always anointed. Number one, the word of truth, spoken based on his written word. Number two, any work or ministry that God has ordained and is directing. Number three, any person that has a righteousness by faith, obeying God consistently in his or her own personal life in complicated situations. John wrote that the church had an anointing that was abiding after they repented from dead works. For this reason, they did not need anyone to teach them. Today, the anointing in the majority of ministries is only there when somebody is preaching or doing ministry. John told them not to be seduced by those who only have an anointing when the gifts of the Holy Spirit are operating. Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 3, this is verses 1 to 16. This is 1 Timothy chapter 3, I'm starting in verse 1. This is a true saying, if a man desire the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. Verse 2, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant, sober, of good behavior, given to hospitality, apt to teach. Verse 3, not given to wine, no striker, not greedy of filthy lucre, but patient, not a brawler, not covetous. Verse 4, one that rules well his own house, having his children in subjection with all gravity. Verse 5, for if a man know how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Verse 6, not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil. Verse 7, moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and of the snare of the devil. Verse 8, likewise, must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, not greedy of filthy lucre. Verse 9, holding the mystery of the faith in a pure conscience. Verse 10, and let these also first be proved, then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Verse 11, even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. Verse 12, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children and their own houses well. Verse 13, for they that have used the office of a deacon well purchased to themselves a good degree and great boldness in the faith which is in Christ Jesus. Verse 14, these things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. Verse 15, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtst to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Verse 16, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. To examine yourself properly, you have to be proven first, especially in the home, as this is your first church as a leader. In the home of someone who is anointed all the time, there should be a spiritual gravity. Gravity in physics is defined as the fundamental interaction which causes mutual attraction between all things that have mass. Through being a heavy weight for Jesus, others will also ask God and not use their minds around you. You do not need to shout or quote the written word in the household. Under pressure, rejoice and only do what the Holy Spirit says, and others will see you are not tempted to move in the flesh or complain. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, verses 15 and 16. This is in the book of Revelation chapter 3. I'm reading verse 15. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou would be cold or hot. Verse 16. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew you out of my mouth. You may be hot briefly in some areas by asking God. However, you are also cold spiritually in areas where you do what you want when you want. The church that does not hear God in basic areas is lukewarm. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 to 24. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in Achaia. Verse 2. Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Verse 5. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds by Christ. Verse 6. And whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings which we also suffer. Or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. Verse 7. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the suffering, so shall ye be also of the consolation. Verse 8. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Verse 9. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raises the dead. Verse 10. Who delivered us from so great a death, and does deliver in whom we trust, that he will yet deliver us. Verse 11. He also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us, by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. Verse 12. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you. Verse 13. For we write none of the things unto you that which you read or acknowledge, and I trust you shall acknowledge even to the end. Verse 14. As also ye have acknowledged us in part, that we are your rejoicing, even as ye also are ours in the day of the Lord Jesus. Verse 15. And in this confidence I was reminded to come unto you before, that you might have a second benefit, verse 16, and to pass by you into Macedonia, and to come again out of Macedonia unto you, and of you to be brought on my way toward Judea. Verse 17, when I therefore was thus minded, did I use lightness, or the things that I purpose? Do I purpose according to the flesh, that with me there should be yea, yea, and nay, nay? Verse 18, but as God is true, our word towards you was not yea and nay. Verse 19, for the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who was preached among you by us, even by me and Silvanus and Timothy, was not yea and nay, but in him was yea. Verse 20, for all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him, amen, unto the glory of God by us. Verse 21, now he which establishes us with you in Christ and anointed us is God. Verse 22, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Verse 23, moreover, I call God for a record upon my soul, that to spare you I came not as yet unto Corinth. Verse 24, not for that we have dominion over your faith, but are helpers of your joy, and for by faith ye stand. Paul was a spiritual heavyweight when it came to suffering. He was not going to spare the Corinthians making excuses for not hearing the voice of God in their personal lives. They were nearly castaways, but had been re-established with God after Titus brought them Paul's first letter. Paul shared testimonies of complicated situations on the narrow way with the Corinthians because they were not examining themselves properly. Paul was anointed in, number one, trials and difficulties. Number two, life-threatening situations. Number three, his personal life and finances. And number four, house and home. Do not make excuses for coming out of Christ or taking holidays in the flesh. The flesh is a corrupted operating system. Living in the flesh is like staying in a building awaiting demolition. The promises are only available for those abiding in Christ. If you depart from the truth at lower levels of pressure, then at higher levels of pressure you will depart as well. Paul was not using natural wisdom to solve daily issues. Make sure your personal life is heavily anointed with testimonies of godly wisdom. Use natural wisdom and modern technology sparingly. Show others in the church that there is a better way. In the Message Bible, 2 Corinthians 13 and verse 5 says, test yourselves to make sure you are solid in the faith. Don't drift along taking everything for granted. Give yourselves regular checkups. You need first-hand evidence, not mere hearsay, that Jesus Christ is in you. Test it out. If you fail the test, do something about it. Come to all Christians, beware as the amount of temptation increases over time as you keep following Christ. You just have to obey and keep obeying. It's never too late to start working on your foundation if you have not been doing that recently. Those taking long journeys do regular checkups on the transport they rely on, as it can stop working suddenly otherwise. Spiritually, everything works smoothly when Christ is your Lord. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 verses 1 to 6. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm reading verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself beseech you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold towards you. Verse 2. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some which think of us as if we are walking according to the flesh. Verse 3, For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Verse 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, to the pulling down of strongholds. Verse 5. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6. And having in a readiness to revenge all disobedience, when your obedience is fulfilled. You cannot lose your faith in God, but you can give it away by having your faith in something else, by listening to imaginations and desires of the flesh. Take thoughts captive that are based on what this world has to offer. Paul was begging the Corinthians to be humble and to stop making decisions with their mind. Paul had gained weapons following Christ on the narrow way and learned how to answer thoughts and imaginations that were making excuses for the flesh while following Christ. He was going to use those weapons on the Corinthians too. A thought, for example, that says you do not need to ask God in a situation because it's too insignificant is devilish. Those who do not ask enough questions are not solid in the faith. How will you obey him perfectly if you're always thinking when you should be listening? Jesus taught in Matthew chapter 6, verses 24 and 25. This is Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, starting in verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Verse 25. Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for the body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? The word mammon in Strong's is number 3126. It's of a Chaldee origin, means confidence, and is figuratively wealth personified. That is avarice, defied, mammon. Noah Webster in 1828 defined the word avarice as an inordinate desire of gaining and possessing wealth, covetousness, greediness, or insatiable desire of gain. Avarice sheds a blasting influence over the finest affections and sweetest comforts of mankind. Your mind was not created to think about your own well-being with God as your provider. You were created in the image of God to serve him alone. You've been brought back from the slave market of sin and the devil's kingdom to follow Christ if you're born again. Mammon is a Chaldean word meaning security based on personal wealth and earthly gain. We read in Isaiah chapter 47, I'm reading verses 1 to 5. This is in the book of Isaiah chapter 47, I'm reading verse 1. Come down and sit in the dust, O virgin daughter of Babylon. Sit on the ground. There is no throne, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called tender and delicate. Verse 2. Take the millstones and grind meal. Uncover thy locks. Make bare the leg. Uncover the thigh. Pass over the rivers. Verse 3. Thy nakedness shall be uncovered, yea, thy shame shall be seen. I will take vengeance, and I will not meet thee as a man. Verse 4. As for our Redeemer, the Lord of hosts is his name, the Holy One of Israel. Verse 5. Sit thou silent, and get thee into darkness, O daughter of the Chaldeans, for thou shalt no more be called the Lady of Kingdoms. Babylon is not just an ancient country, but a system of making wealth for yourself, without the fear of God, and acknowledging his calling on your life. This appeals to the world. The kingdom of God has been here since the day of Pentecost for those who want to follow Christ with their whole heart. Jesus did not lock up the devil or remove the Roman Empire and punish corrupt authorities at his first appearing. If he had done that, then John the Baptist and Paul would not have had their heads removed while in prison, possibly. Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8, verses 11 to 13. This is in the book of Romans chapter 8, I'm reading verse 11. But if the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells in you. Verse 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live after the flesh. Verse 13. For if you live after the flesh, you shall die. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, shall live. Save yourselves. Everyone that is a born-again child of God only has to decide between two operating systems, the flesh and the spirit. Once you have done this, stop listening to your bodily needs that were controlling you before through the flesh. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 3, verses 5 to 10. This is Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading verse 5. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Verse 6. Which things sake the wrath of God comes on the children of disobedience. Verse 7. In the which ye also walked some time when ye lived in them. Verse 8. But now you also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Verse 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. Verse 10. Now put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Being born again is not an insurance policy against hell, but an opportunity of a lifetime to obey God through the Holy Spirit like Christ. If you want to be controlled by the Spirit, then do not allow your bodily members to resist the Holy Spirit for the sake of your flesh. Your lifestyle and behavior will change with Christ in charge, and new habits be formed instead. You do not have to do another dead work or take from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil ever again. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 45, I'm reading to verse 58. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting in verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Verse 46. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. Verse 47. The first man is of the earth, earthly. The second man is the Lord from heaven. Verse 48. As is the earthly, such are they also that are earthly. And is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. Verse 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthly, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Verse 53. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Verse 54. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Verse 56. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. Verse 57. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Adam became a living soul and died because he never learned to trust and obey. Anything that's not trusting God is sin. The second Adam, Christ, died but came back to life because he never sinned. Death has lost its sting. So you don't have to die if you're born again. You can live the sinless life by acknowledging God consistently and obeying the Spirit. If you make a mistake, confess, as there's forgiveness in his name. Everyone is responsible for working out his or her own salvation. Do not be a living soul based on knowledge, but a quickening spirit like Christ. You have the option to lose your soul following Christ and not do anything unless the Spirit quickens you to do it. If you abide in Christ up to the end of your life, or when Jesus appears, you will be in the first resurrection. We read in Genesis chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This is in the book of Genesis chapter 3. I'm reading verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field, which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, have God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Verse 2. And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Verse 3. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. Verse 4. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die. Verse 5. For God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Verse 6. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired, to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. Eve was first drawn away through the lust of the eyes, yielded to the flesh, and decided she could make it on her own with the knowledge of good and evil. The devil helped Eve imagine what she could accomplish with the knowledge of good and evil. There was no way back for Adam and Eve after they both sinned, because the flesh is a corrupt operating system. Now, through Jesus Christ, God is willing to make all the decisions for you, by grace through faith, but you have to follow Christ by the Spirit and resist your flesh telling you what to do and not do. Eve was not expected to be put outside of the Garden of Eden after she sinned. Eve was deceiving herself that she could be Lord of her own life and still live in paradise. Are you deceiving yourself in the same way? You will also lose the life and peace you could enjoy every day on earth by thinking about your personal needs. Think about eternity and what you will lose doing dead works of the flesh, and repent. By grace, Adam and Eve knew immediately they were naked after they sinned. Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 17 to 19. This is in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I'm reading verse 17. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. Verse 18. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white garment, that thou mayest be clothed, and the shame of thy nakedness does not appear, and anoint thy eyes with eye salver, that thou mayest see. Verse 19. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. The word zealous in Strong's is number 2206. It comes from another word which means to have warmth of feeling, for or against. Affect, covet, earnestly, have desire, move with envy, or be jealous over. Be zealous or zealously affected. To repent, you also have to be warm or open towards those following Christ, sent to help you. You have to change your attitude to pressure on the narrow way. If you do not, you will end up serving two masters again. There is no grace for anyone now doing whatever they want when they want in these last days. Jesus is coming back for his bride soon. Check now and see if there's anything in your house you went out to buy because you wanted or decided you needed it under pressure. You should only have sought those things that he wanted you to have. Otherwise, you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Jesus said in John 10, verses 27 to 30. This is John's Gospel, chapter 10, I'm reading verse 27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Verse 29. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. Verse 30. I and my Father are one. The kingdom of God is here now for God's people who want to hear, trust, and obey in meekness. One with God is a majority. Choose wisely, as through the internet, the knowledge of good and evil is even more available. The devil wants to pluck you out of the Father's hand, but he cannot do it on his own. The devil needs you to desire something for yourself, like Eve did in the Garden of Eden. You will not do that if you are one with the Father, like Jesus was, because he never consulted his own will. To consult your own will, you have to use your mind. Your Father is now in heaven, and he is the one that is supposed to feed you every day. He does this through the communication system, and you being in the right place at the right time. If anyone else provides for you, and it's not ordained by God, you'll never be free. Jesus was one with the Father before the cross in his humanity through obedience to the Spirit. And you can be one with the Father too by obeying the Spirit. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1 verses 26 to 29. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 1. I'm reading verse 26. Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints. Verse 27, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, who is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Verse 28, whom we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Verse 29, whereunto I also labour, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. The word saints in Strong's is number 40. It comes from another word which means an awful thing. It means sacred, physically pure, morally blameless or religious, ceremonially consecrated, most holy, one thing, a saint. By grace through faith, Christ is alive and functioning all those not resisting what he is directing by the Spirit. If you live a life that is controlled by the Spirit now, your life will bring glory to God now and later. Keep using your communication system or it will stop working from lack of use. If you are living in this world but not of it, then God will always be working mightily in you. A simple checkup is to keep asking God what he wants you to do as you've done before. And if he answers immediately, you know your faith is still solid in that area. You can even ask God for a refreshing if you're busy or traveling or need it on the narrow way for any reason. Paul was growing rapidly, mysteries that were previously hidden were being revealed to him and to all those who kept themselves unspotted from the world by seeking his perfect will. Churches using earthly wisdom when they could be uncomfortable learning lessons through trusting him with all their heart are ignorant. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verses 23 to 25. This is in the book of Colossians chapter 1, I'm reading verse 23. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which you have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. Verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you, and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh, for his body's sake, which is the church. Verse 25. Whereof I am made a minister according to the dispensation of God, which given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. To others, Paul looked like a castaway on the narrow way, without hope. But he had the hope of glory, which is a mystery to the church today. Paul became a minister of the new covenant in a short time without going to Bible school. He learned to ask God everything about timing and where to stay, and what to eat and when. God used the Jews that were trying to get him killed or arrested to train him. Paul was living in the light and did nothing for his own well-being. Using the extra grace as an apostle, he was able to equip others with the lessons he learned on the narrow way. To be a pioneer, he had to be grounded and established in the faith. In complicated situations, you'll be moved away from the hope of the gospel if you're not grounded in the faith and listen to your flesh. You can only hear God directly by grace through faith if you're born again by the Spirit. Paul wrote in Philippians chapter 3, verses 4 to 14, I'm reading. This is Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinks that he hath, whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Verse 5, circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, verse 6, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in all blameless, verse 7, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ, verse 8, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and to count them, but dung that I may win Christ. Verse 9. And be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. Verse 10. That I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. Verse 11. If by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Verse 12. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Verse 14, I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. The word apprehended in Strong's is number 2638. It comes from some other words which means to take eagerly. That is to seize, possess. Literally or figuratively, apprehend, attain, come upon, comprehend. Find, obtain, perceive, or take over. No one will be declared righteous by keeping the law or any part of it. Maintain your righteousness by consistently obeying the Holy Spirit with the faith of a little child as the pressure increases. Those making progress spiritually experience the fellowship of his sufferings along the narrow way. They quickly forget those things that they lost in this world for the sake of following Christ. Distant memories fade in those winning Christ. They have no regrets and can rejoice about the price that they have paid compared to others. Without losing something temporal for the sake of following Christ, you are not a Christian. Paul had become like an athlete on the narrow way. He had to change his diet, not listen to his body complaining to win the prize. Paul was seized by Christ on the road to Damascus, where he was persecuting the church as a Pharisee, and he was given a new commission through his own repentance from dead religious works, which included suffering and endurance for righteousness' sake. John said in 1 John chapter 5, verses 2 to 4. This is 1 John chapter 5, and read verse 2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. Verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. Verse 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. The word grievous in Strong's is number 926. It comes from another word which means weighty, that is, figuratively burdensome, grave, grievous, heavy, or weightier. We are no longer under law, but under grace to obey the Spirit as the body of Christ on earth. There are no big Ten Commandments to follow. Under the New Covenant, just small commands Jesus gives you. Be ready to keep them your whole life, if he says so. You should ask God what time to get up every morning and go to bed every night, for example. Keeping any of Jesus' commands is easy when you start following Christ. The cost to obey increases when the pressure increases. Under increasing difficulty, you have no authority to change his commands, change the conditions, and make excuses. Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 3, verses 1 to 4. This is in the book of Galatians chapter 3, and reading verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Verse 2. This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Verse 4. Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? The word foolish in Strong's is number 453. It comes from some other words which means unintelligent, by implication, sensual, foolish, or unwise. Your flesh will be circumcised following Christ, so you don't need circumcision. The Galatians have become weary doing what the Holy Spirit was directing them to do in a complicated situation because they were not working on their foundation. They did not like being treated like a criminal all the time. Paul called the Galatians foolish or bewitched, because when they started obeying the truth, they experienced his grace. Now they were making a friendship with the Jews like Judas Iscariot. Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 2, verses 12 and reading to verse 19. This is Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Verse 13. And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. Verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Verse 15. and having sworn principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Verse 16. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Verse 17. Which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshipping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Verse 19. And not holding the head, from which all the body by joints and bands, having nourishment ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. You shall have the aroma of Christ that comes from the fellowship of his sufferings, living like an athlete on the narrow way. Those who do not want to follow Christ will avoid you. Those who love Christ will love you. Paul experienced the operation of God giving him answers daily by the Spirit because he was part of the body. Jesus is the head of the body. Any part of your body that does not get signals from the brain will die. In the same way, you cannot claim to be alive and part of Christ's body using your mind to make decisions. Carnal Christians will not appreciate that you just ask God everything you possibly can and do what he says. Paul was alive, not like someone lying in a hospital bed, barely alive in the flesh, seeking a miracle cure. Those seeking deliverance-type ministries offering a breakthrough today are cut off from Christ, childish and need to repent. Paul was triumphant by choosing not to do anything to help himself when he was treated like a criminal, following the teachings of Christ. We read in Matthew 18, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 9. This is in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 18, I'm starting in verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Verse 2. And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. Verse 3. And said, Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Verse 5. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receives me. Verse 6. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. Verse 7. Woe unto the world because of the offences, for it must needs be that offences come. But woe to that man by whom the offence cometh. Verse 8. Wherefore, if thy hand or thy foot offend thee, cut them off and cast them from thee. It's better for thee to enter into life halt or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet to be cast into everlasting fire. Verse 9. And if thy eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is better for thee to enter into life with one eye, rather than having two eyes to be cast into hellfire. Being born again is not enough to enter the kingdom of heaven. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with God. There are two options in this teaching from Jesus. The first choice is to become like a little child. The second option is hell and everlasting fire. If you let anything stop you from becoming like a little child, time is running out for those who are too proud to have the faith of a little child. This world is passing away. And the only kingdom that will remain is the kingdom of heaven. To live and function there You need to become like a little child, building a relationship with your Father. You can start now with God by the Spirit. You have to change the operating system, not just say a prayer and keep living the way you were before you heard the gospel. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 12 and 13. This is 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he stands take heed lest he fall. Verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you but which is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. The Corinthians were quite happy seeking ministry and blessing in comfortable surroundings. They even had a deliverance type ministry for those still serving two masters. It may have looked like a strong ministry to anyone else today with many members, but Paul was not impressed. You need trials and difficulties, or your faith will not be tested. God will allow a certain amount of pressure to expose a weak or corrupt foundation that you have built, but will not allow you to be tempted beyond your ability to obey. Pride that says, I don't need to ask God the small things, will cause you to miss God's solution. Grace continues when you are asking God. Those who are humble, ask God and do what he says. Paul continued in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 14 to 24. I'm reading 1 Corinthians chapter 10, starting in verse 14. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. Verse 15. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? Verse 17, for we being many are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread. Verse 18, behold Israel after the flesh. Are not they which eat of the sacrifices and partakers of the altar? Verse 19. What say I then? That the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? Verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils, and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Verse 21. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Verse 22. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? Verse 23. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. Verse 24. Let no man seek his own, but every man another's wealth. The devil is now on a leash, so you can learn from your mistakes. But learning by trial and error can take time. When you are following Christ and take over the Lordship, it's only because you want something for the sake of your flesh. An idol is anything that you are venerating above God and his rightly divided word of truth for your life. God will make a way of escape so that you don't have to serve idols. In complicated situations, maintain your communication by seeking righteousness, and you will hear the way of escape he provides. By making decisions with your mind, you are proud and heading for a fall. Idols are those things that you have made more important than your relationship with God. Taking up your cross daily and denying yourself will expose idols that you have made for the sake of your flesh. Take the cup of Christ, not the cup of the devil. The cup of Christ will involve some suffering. Those who take up the cup of Christ do not seek their own will or his permissible will in complicated situations. There are no excuses for disobeying God, but there are reasons. Reasons why you disobey can be identified and removed through repentance. When the pressure reduces, use that time wisely. You need quality time with God to repent deeply and process conviction. Any idols will be in areas of your personal life where you believe God is unfaithful. So you will need to respond to conviction and correction and repent deeply to be set free. We read in John chapter 6 verses 4 to 6. This is in John's Gospel chapter 6. I'm reading verse 4. And the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was nigh. Verse 5. And when Jesus lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he said unto Philip, Whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6. And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. The word prove in John 6 and verse 6 is the same word examine used by Paul. The same word is translated as tempt or tempted in the Gospels by the King James Bible. To examine means to put under pressure. The cup of Christ is pressure. The narrow way is a life of pressure. Jesus put pressure on Philip. Those who are mature like pressure, as it will prove that they are in the Spirit or not. James wrote in James chapter 1, verses 12, I'm reading to verse 19. This is James chapter 1, I'm reading verse 12. Blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he's tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Verse 13. Let no man say when he's tempted, I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempt he any man. Verse 14. But every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Verse 15. Then when lust is conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it's finished, brings forth death. Verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Verse 18. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Verse 19. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. In the book Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 3, Spiritual Maturity, in Chapter 13, As the Foundations Deepen, on page 122, Joseph Hedgecott writes, Pressure is good for you. You may be tempted to take over lordship and depressurize a difficult situation. However, if you are determined to stand on what God says, His grace will give you the strength you need. Every believer's spiritual foundation can handle pressure to a certain point. If you can handle 1,000 units of pressure, He does not assign you 1,500 units of pressure. If you are stubborn and insist that you can handle more than He requires, He may allow you to fail as part of your training. You will leak, but He will show you how and why you leaked. As you learn from the situation, He will then open another door with the same amount of pressure. Because you have been strengthened and trained, you'll be able to handle it. You can endure pressure with contentment when you trust God. He will not allow you to be tried beyond what you're able to endure, but will make a way of escape. Pressure has to increase if you want the crown of life. By listening to God, you will escape the snares of the evil one, overcome temptation, and bear the fruits of the Spirit in complicated situations. If you're listening to your reasoning, you'll become frustrated, get in the flesh, and get angry. You have all the resources to hear God and obey. The kingdom of God is here by the Spirit, and all your help comes through the communication system. You will fall from grace by thinking you do not need to hear His voice all the time. God has not removed the devil, so if you stop listening to God, you will follow a way that seems right. We read in Luke's Gospel, chapter 10, verses 25 and 26. This is Luke chapter 10, I'm reading verse 25. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? Verse 26. And he said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? Christ was put under pressure by the Jews to do something based on his reasoning and react based on the knowledge of the law. They wanted Jesus to get angry and say something in response that was not the truth, but he never did. Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 to 6, this is Proverbs chapter 3, starting in verse 1. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Verse 2. For length of days and long life and peace they shall add to thee. Verse 3. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them around thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. Verse 4. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not to thine understanding. Verse 6. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. In the book, My Friends Obey My Voice, in chapter 6 on fruits of obedience, on pages 35 and 36, Joseph Edgecott writes, The word of God tells you to examine yourself to see if you be in the faith. 2 Corinthians 13:5. Paul was serious about this. He monitored himself to make sure he stayed in the faith, walking in humility and trusting God. Satan has moved most Christians and ministries out of the will of God. Basically, this is because they have motives of pride, selfishness, and ambition. The time is short to warn these people to get their act straight. There is time left to repent. There is time when God will not destroy. He will still remember his covenant if we will seek God with our whole heart and soul. But it has to be with our whole heart and soul that we repent. I've shared this message with many, many people who knew it was the truth. They were convicted and tried to walk in it. It was as if they wanted to hedge their bet. They seemed to say, I will preach it a little bit from the pulpit. I won't come against this teaching. I'll acknowledge that this message is right. Yet I see that they will not walk in it. They don't go after it with all their heart and soul, because if they do, it will cost them the kingdom they have built. If they start seeking God, he's not going to keep supplying that false kingdom. It will fall down. And they're not willing to let it fall. Their pride keeps them wanting to prop it up. So they find themselves out of necessity having to turn from God and go back to their own reason and understanding, use their own methods to keep it functioning. They try to justify it by saying they have a great work going, but it doesn't impress God. God is not interested in our sacrifices. God is only interested in our obedience. It's better to obey than to sacrifice. Instead of us dying to self and mortifying our flesh, our reasoning and our understanding, we think it would be better to build God a nice shrine. We build him a big building and say, I don't need to straighten up my act in business. I need to make money. I'll just give 20% and we can build a big church. I'll buy the organ and God will be pleased with my sacrifice. God would rather have you beating on a tin can than you being dishonest in your business. We have compromised a little bit here and a little bit there until it has leavened the whole church. Now it has become a way of life with no way of escape unless the whole thing falls down and God reveals it his way. I've warned you ahead of time that a lot of things are going to fall. Some of you don't have any idea of what some of those things are going to be. The hour is coming when a lot of ministries and organizations are going to fall, and you're going to think it's the devil. But it will not be the devil. It will be God. And some of you can't even imagine that. God is going to shake some things down when he does. He will bring his people out. He will deal with them the way he did with Sodom and Gomorrah. He will send the angels in time to warn them. Judgment is coming. God is going to remove the candlestick from false churches and ministries. When he does, they will fall. This message is to help you obey God. There are some things that God has spoken that are very serious. And it is part of my motivation to share this as seriously as God sees it. It's not time to play games. I've seen people play games with this for years. I wanted to get them to make a decision to serve God with all their heart and soul, but they still played games with it. There is no more time for games. You need to choose this day whom you're going to serve. What you know by grace needs to go from your head to your heart. You need to accept the spiritual medicine, trials and difficulties, to deepen your trust in God and stop leaning to your own understanding. It's hard to get a child to eat and swallow what is actually good for them. To move the truth you know from your head to your heart, you have to swallow the conviction and reject the lies that you believe, following a way that seems right. Solomon wrote in Proverbs chapter 14, verses 12 to 15. This is in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13. Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. Verse 14. The backslider in heart shall be filled with his own ways, and a good man shall be satisfied from himself. Verse 15. The simple believes every word, but the prudent man looketh well to his going. When the truth enters your heart, you become a doer of the word. Those who disobey keep listening to their flesh. Some never let go of the lies they want to believe for the sake of their flesh until they reap the consequences. Or their faith only starts working in the last few years of their lives when they examine and humble themselves. Some need a crushing of their lives to see what is wrong. Any misdirected faith returns to you when you repent of lies so that you can believe the truth you receive through conviction. You will save yourself years of heartache by examining the fruit that is in your personal life now. The truth in your heart about God has to be maintained on the narrow way as the pressure increases. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 1, I'm reading to verse 13. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 7, starting in verse 1. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Verse 2. Receive us. We have wronged no man. We have corrupted no man. We have defrauded no man. Verse 3. I speak this not to condemn you, for I have said before that ye are in our hearts to die and live with you. Verse 4. Great is my boldness of speech toward you. Great is my glorying of you. I am filled with comfort. I'm exceeding joyful in all our tribulation. Verse 5. For when we were come into Macedonia, our flesh had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Without were fightings, and within were fears. Verse 6, nevertheless, God that comforts those that are cast down comforted us by the coming of Titus. Verse 7, and not by his coming only, but by the consolation wherewith he was comforted in you, when he told us your earnest desire, your mourning, your fervent mind towards me, so that I rejoice the more. Verse 8, for though I made you sorry with a letter, I do not repent, though I did repent, for I perceive that the same epistle hath made you sorry, though it were but for a season. Verse 9, now I rejoice not that you were made sorry, but that ye sorrowed to repentance. For you were made sorry after a godly manner, that ye might receive damage by us in nothing. Verse 10, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world works death. Verse 11, for behold, this selfsame thing, that ye sorrowed after a godly sort, what carefulness it wrought in you. Yea, what clearing of yourselves, yea, what indignation, yea, what fear, yea, what vehement desire, yea, what zeal, yea, what revenge. In all things you have approved yourselves to be clear in this matter. Verse 12, wherefore, though I wrote unto you, I did it not for his cause that had done the wrong, nor for his cause that suffered wrong, but that our care for you in the sight of God might appear unto you. Verse 13, therefore we were comforted in your comfort, yea, and exceedingly the more joy we are for the joy of Titus, because his spirit was refreshed by you all. The Corinthians were not examining themselves, and only repented after reading and listening to Paul's first letter. This resulted in some deep godly sorrow. Paul did not write like he did to produce any condemnation. He was ready to die for them and live with them. Paul was comforted by the fact that they took some time to respond to the correction they received through his first letter and repented deeply. Paul just wanted them to wake up and personally examine themselves, not in terms of ministry. In the Living Bible, 2 Corinthians 13:5 says, check up on yourselves. Are you really Christians? Do you pass the test? Do you feel Christ's presence and power more and more within you? Or are you just pretending to be Christians when actually you aren't at all? You can be born again and not be a Christian. A Christian is somebody who is Christ-like, hears and obeys Christ themselves consistently in every area of life and is led by the Spirit. They know Christ, they have the fruits of Christ, and follow Christ. Paul wanted the Corinthians to check and see if Christ was actually alive and functioning in them. They were still babes spiritually a long time after being born again. They were even judging Paul. If you're not moving forward, controlled by the Spirit, you'll go backwards and end up worse, with a form of religion still doing dead works. Paul wrote in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 9, I'm reading to verse 22. This is 2 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 9. The Lord knows how to deliver the godly out of temptations, and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished. Verse 10, but chiefly them that walk after the flesh in the lust of uncleanness and despise government. Presumptuous are they, self-willed. They are not afraid to speak evil of dignitaries. Verse 11, whereas angels, which are greater in power and might, bring not railing accusation against them before the Lord. Verse 12, but these are natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of the things they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. verse 13, and shall receive the reward of unrighteousness, as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spots they are, and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings, while they feast with you. Verse 14, having eyes full of adultery, and that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, and cursed children. Verse 15, which have forsaken the right way and are gone astray, following the way of Balaam the son of Beor, who loved the wages of unrighteousness. Verse 16, but was rebuked for his iniquity. The dumb ass, speaking with man's voice, forbade the madness of the prophet. Verse 17, these are wells without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the midst of darkness is reserved forever. Verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. Verse 19, while they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world, through the knowledge of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. Verse 21, for it being better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than after they have known it, and turned to the holy commandment delivered unto them. Verse 22, but it's happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his vomit again, and the sow that was washed to a wallowing in the mire. You might feel like you're moving forward during a conference, listening to those promising freedom. But those led and controlled by their emotions and feelings are also corrupt. Anyone who tells you God has given you a brain and expects you to use it is corrupt. God is able to deliver anyone who is godly, seeking righteousness on the narrow way. Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 6 to 9. I'm reading 2 Corinthians chapter 13, starting in verse 6. But I trust that ye shall know that we are not reprobates. Verse 7. Now I pray to God that ye do no evil, not that we should appear approved, but that ye should do that which is honest, though we be as reprobates. Verse 8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Verse 9. For we are glad that when we are weak, you are strong. And this also we wish, even your perfection. The word reprobates in Strong's is number 96. It comes from some other words which means unapproved, that is, rejected, by implication, worthless, literally or morally, cast away, rejected or reprobate. Paul was asking the Corinthians to check the fruit in their personal lives, as he had to bring such a heavy correction in his letters after open sin was manifesting in the church. When bad fruit appears, everyone has to repent, because it means there is no spiritual gravity in the church, from leaders asking God about everything, and standards everywhere start slipping. There should be a spiritual heavy weight in every congregation who will have the boldness to say, did you ask the Lord? Being led by the Spirit, Paul experienced God's approval, applying the word of truth in challenging circumstances. The lessons he learned, he passed on to other churches and did not include the wisdom of the world, but the Corinthians were still ignorant. Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3 and verse 20 and 21, this is Revelation chapter 3, I'm reading verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To him that overcomes will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and sat down with my Father in his throne. No one should be hearing God for you. If you have not repented of dead works, you will be tempted to do even more dead work to compensate for the fact that you're not getting God's provision on the narrow way. You have a liberty to choose between two natures, and that's all. Christianity is not just another religion, but a relationship with a living God by obeying the Spirit consistently. If you want to hear, get to know, and follow Jesus, then I can recommend this book, My Sheep Hear My Voice by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to make a fresh start and get on the narrow path, sow in the Spirit daily, experience full salvation and freedom through regular repentance, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 1, Foundations of Spiritual Maturity by Joseph Hedgecock. If you want to grow up spiritually, not be earthly minded and come to maturity, then I can recommend the book, Wake Up, Time is Running Out, Volume 2, Growing Up Spiritually by Joseph Hedgecock. Do not accept a counterfeit version of Christianity based on religious dead works where you do not have to deny yourself and take up your cross daily. You need to make sure that you get on the narrow way. The broad way that leads to destruction looks good. It's signposted heaven this way, and many well-meaning good people attending church are on the broad road. If you know that you have resisted the truth and want to know why, then I can recommend the book The Guilted Prison, Revised Edition by Joseph Hedgecock. Today I've shared a message that is about examining yourself, looking at the fruit in your life. If you're going through a complicated situation right now and the pressure is increasing, you are truly blessed. You have been chosen. You are somebody that is special in God's sight. And the things that are happening in your life is because, yes, you're behind. But right now, God is increasing his grace enormously in these last days. And you should be excited about the possibility to repent of all those things that he's revealing in your life right now. I want to pray with you. I know you are special. All you have to do is be honest and start examining yourself in these areas where you keep failing and actually admit that you're serving two masters. And decide you're going to serve one. Let me pray with you. Father in heaven, your people are out there now. And you have given them a high calling. A high calling to be part of your kingdom, your holy kingdom. And you are extending you that grace so they can see how to live in these last days. And Father, even if things are causing them to stumble, Father, teach them. If they will cling to your voice, hear your voice in complicated situations, you'll make a way for them. I pray that in Jesus' precious name. Hallelujah. You can find a summary of the scriptures used in today's message below the video, either written out via a link to a website. Our contact details will follow at the end of this message. God bless you and thank you for listening.